Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word always brings light and gives understanding. Shine that light upon our hearts this morning as we encourage one another with the word of God. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Three seasons that I want to talk about today. You know, do, and do. They sound alike, but they mean different things. Our first one is D-O, which is do. The other one is D-E-W, which is do. And the last one is D-U-E, which is do. So three seasons that sound like the same, but they are not entirely the same. You know, so let's start here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. First 8 verses or so tells us that, you know, there is a time for everything, right? There is, you know, say to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So we see that right away, there is a season to everything, you know, and there is a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rent, a time to sow. That's S-E-W. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. I mean, all these things, you know, and so forth. Well, there's also a time to sow, S-O-W, and a time to reap. You know, so today's message is going to be more like along those lines. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about sowing and reaping here, I'm not talking about taking up an offering. Just pay attention and listen to the message. Praise the Lord. Now, the first lesson, which is do, the O, is about taking action, you know. And now we've talked about faith without works is dead. We've talked about faith with believing. I mean, faith with action is believing. So we talked about, alluded to some of those things. But I want to read a few scriptures and let's just talk about some things. And we'll bring all these three dimensions together. You know, when we talk about do, which is D-O, right? We're talking about the part that you must play. In the grand scheme of things, there's a part that we must play. There is a part that God must play. And there's a part, and everything starts with God, really, you know, but. You know, he always leaves us a part to play, you know. But in fact, before I get into too much, let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. In this verse, we'll see and understand that even in the eternal purposes of God, he has left us a part to play. And this is important for us to understand this as we go through this message today and this lesson. In 2 Timothy 2 and 19 says, nevertheless, you know, there is, you know, this understanding that we must have. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Now, what is the seal? Well, it's a two-part seal. The first part is, the Lord knows them that are his. That's his part. He already knows them. He knows how to get them. He knows how to call them. He knows how to keep them. He knows them that are his. Nobody can fool the Lord. You know. And what's the second part? The second part is, he said, remember, he said, having this seal. There's two parts to the seal. The first part, then he said, and, which means it's a conjunction. You take the first thing he said and you add this other thing to it. So the first part is, the Lord knows them that are his. That's his part. You know. And the second part is, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So that's a seal. It's a two-part seal. You know, God will do his part. You know, he had ordained us, he foreknew us and all of that. You know, and we must do our part. Our part is we must depart from iniquity. You know, so there's always two parts to the equation, so to speak. God will do his part, and you must do your part. And there's a part that we have to play. Even in salvation, you know, you have to believe. You know, you cannot be saved unless you believe. You know, no matter how wonderful anyone preaches, no matter how the, you know, power of God is there, the power of God must bring you to believing in order for you to be saved, you know. And then not only do you believe, you must also confess the Christ with your mouth. That's the only way you're going to be saved. According to Romans, you know, chapter 10, the scripture clearly lays out how we can be saved. There's no other way to be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. So, but you have to do these things. You can't be saved otherwise, you know. So, and so on and so forth. But if we don't do our part, you know, and even in the things that we want from God, Jesus said something like in Matthew chapter 7. He said in verses 7 and 8, you know, he gave a triple action faith, is what I call it. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and you shall, you know, it shall be open unto you. That's three things he's asking you to do there. But in each of those things, you must do something. In order for you to receive, you must ask. In order for you to find, you must seek. In order for the door to be opened, you have to knock. You know, so it's a triple action faith, I call it. And you got to do those things. So we see that there's always an element of doing, you know, that the Lord tells us. In Lamentation 3 and 27, it talks about the things of life even. You know, he said, look, it is good, you know, that for a young person to bear the yoke in their youth. It's good for a man that they bear the yoke in their youth. So during the time when they have energy, they must do something. That's the time you do it. That's the time you bear the yoke. That's the time you go to school, you go to college, you do all of these things. Do all the things that you must do when you're young. You do your part. You got to do it. This lesson is about three different seasons that we're bringing out. And, you know, all these three seasons must work together for your emerging. Now, we need to emerge, and we will emerge like Christ promised us, Holy Spirit did. But there are three seasons that we need to understand. So, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and verse 4. Let's bring out a viewpoint on this doing or not doing. You know, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. Remember, I said there's also a time to sow, S-O-W, and a time to reap. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, you look out there and you see that the clouds are coming in. You know, it's, you know, a storm is brewing, and you say, well, gee, you know, I can't go out to the farm today because it's going to rain. It looks cloudy, it's this and that, and so forth. Well, if you look at those conditions, well, you're not going to go out and sow anything. And well, because you don't sow anything, then you're not going to reap anything either. You know, it's what this scripture is saying. When you're looking at the wind, the wind is coming in. Well, if I go and sow, it'll blow away everything I'm sowing. Well, if you are looking at the wind, then you won't do anything. And if you do that, well, you're looking at the clouds, then you won't reap anything either. So this is a, you know, an important lesson for us to understand. You know, there are certain things that God wants us to, you know, all the things that God promises us to have, you know, many times, you know, there's something that we must do. If you confess your sins, he says, to confess our sins is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. but you must do the confessing and forsaking. You know, he's not just good. I mean, God has the ability to do everything. He doesn't need anybody's help. But the way he has constructed these things is just part that we must play. You know, I mean, even from the beginning, the garden, he put everything there that Adam would ever need. But he asked him to do something and not do something. I mean, he had to keep some commandment. It's that simple. There's always something to do, you know. You got to do something. When the Lord wants to bless you, there's always a part that you must play. I mean, even those of us who are workers and some are students and so forth, you know. I mean, let's say you have a traditional job where you're working 8 hours a day, 8 to 9, 8 to 5 or whatever. You got to do something in order to get that paycheck. You know, girls going to sit there and get the paycheck. You know, earn that paycheck, you got to do something. If you're a student, you know, you got to do something. You got to go to class. You got to study, you know. And when exam is coming, you got to prepare. You got to study those exams. I mean, throughout the semester, you got to turn in your assignments, turn in your homework, do this and do those. You can't just sit down all semester long, do nothing. And then, oh, you know, when exam is coming and you pray that you are going to pass, that's not going to happen. You know, you got to do all that you need to do. You know, praise the Lord. In fact, you know, Proverbs 24 verse 27 says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field. And afterwards you build your house. I mean, all these steps to, you know, to doing well in life, you know, making sure things are good and then, you know, establishing your family and so on and so forth. It's all, you know, centers around you doing something. You got to do something. Now, let me, even when we are, you know, looking for the Lord to break forth upon us, you know, in righteousness and so forth, we got to do something about it. Like next week, we're going to do something about it. You know, we're seeking the Lord for, you know, the Lord to break out upon us in revival, revival fires and so forth. But you got to do something about it. That's the way it works. You can't just be there and expect, you know, heavens to open up. You know, here's what he says in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, then you will reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, and then he will come and rain righteousness upon you. So we've got to do something in order for something to happen. That's the way it works. If a farmer that's looking for a harvesting must do something, they got to plow the fields, they got to break up their fallow ground, they got to sow, they got to weed, you got to water, you got to do all these things in order for you to get that harvest. But even though you do all those things, still have to remember that, you know, the blessing, the real blessing comes from the Lord. So I'm going to be talking about that too. But you got to do all those things, you know, and if you don't do those things, you might not get the, you know, the blessing and the harvesting that you thought you would get, you know. So doing our part, you know, is what you are commanded to do. Remember, even in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, what did Paul write to them? He said, well, I want to remind you that this is what we commanded you when we were with you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. You know, I mean, Paul sometimes was so bold to say some of these things. If you don't work, then don't eat. Well, again, that is the principle of doing, you know, sowing and reaping, working and getting some reward. You got to do something about it. You know, Jesus himself said, look, you know, behold, you know, I come quickly and I'm bringing my reward with me to give to every man. Revelation 22 and verse 12, according as his, you know, work shall be. What is Jesus going to reward? Your works. You know, you have to do something now for you to get the reward. You know, so throughout the scriptures, this element of doing, you know, to get, you know, that's right there. You fold your arms, a little sleep, a little slumber, so shall that poverty come as a want man, as an armed man and so forth. You know, we talked about that last week. So you got to do something. But let's see what Jesus said about someone who's doing nothing. You know, in the book of John chapter 15, Jesus gave this lesson. He said, look, I am the vine. I mean, my father is the husbandman and you are the branches, you know. And Jesus put this lesson out there. Now, this is what he said. Listen to this very carefully. Every branch in me that is bearing not anything, he taketh away. In other words, every branch in me that beareth not fruit or is doing nothing, taketh it away. So even Jesus said this. You know, and every branch that beareth fruit, in other words, that's doing something and producing, he purchases so that he may do even more. So that he may bring forth even more. Isn't that the same story of the talents? The two that went out and did something, earned even more, and at the end they got even more blessing. The one that did nothing and hid the talent got nothing. And even the one that he thought he had was taken from him. So this principle is throughout the Bible. I mean, there are too many examples for you not to be convinced that this is the way that God wants it to be. Jesus said here, look, if you know, what these branches that are not producing here, what they are guilty of is not that they did something wrong. It's that they did nothing. That's what they are guilty of in this particular case. You know, so, you know, the reason why they are being cast away here is why they are doing nothing. They're producing nothing. And so he said, look, you've got to produce. You got to do. But remember, without me, you can do nothing. You know, so even while we're talking on the subject of doing, we got to remember that without him, we really can't do or it won't amount to nothing. That's where the next one comes in. We've talked about DO, which is the part you must do. And then you must remember that, you know, even when you do, you know, except the Lord, you know, really blesses it. It would amount to nothing. That's what Psalm 127 says. He said, look, you can do all these things, but if the Lord doesn't put a blessing on it, you know, then it will amount to nothing. So except the Lord build a house, the laborers, they labor in vain that build it. So they are doing, but it will turn out to be in vain if the Lord is not in it. So even though we realize that we must do, well, you also have to realize that you must do, but you got to look to the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven, D-E-W, is his favor. You know, the Lord has given that favor in order for the works of your hands to be blessed. You know, consider the case of a farmer. I mean, faith, works, and wisdom and everything, they all work together, but the Lord gives the blessing. By wisdom, the man must know when to plant, how to choose the right fields, not to, you know, plant mixed seed and mingled seed. He must know how to, you know, plow the ground. And he must use wisdom in doing all those things. Well, then he must use his faith to believe, you know, that God's going to send a bountiful harvest. There has to be the right amount of rain. If the rain is too much, you wash everything away. If rain is not enough, everything will dry and die off. So it's got to be the right amount of rain. If there's not the right amount, then they have to do irrigation and all this thing. But, you know, you use your wisdom. You do what you need to do. You use your faith to believe God for it. But at the end, it's still God that gives the increase. Even Paul said, look, I may plant, somebody else may water, or they may plant, and I may water, but it is God that gives the increase. But nonetheless, someone must do the planting, someone must do the watering, in order for God to give the increase. You know, God will give the increase, but you got to do the planting and the watering. You know, so that's where the dew of heaven comes in. In Genesis chapter 27, we read a story, you know, of a conflict in the family. You know, there are you know, the father loves one person more, the mother loves the other person more, and the father wants to bless somebody, you know, and he tells the older son Esau, whom he loved more, to go make something for him so he can bless him. The mother overhears it, but she loved the younger one more. She, you know, colludes with the younger one of how to steal that blessing. You may know the story. So anyway, Jacob steals that blessing, pretends to be Esau and all of that. But here's what the Lord, would show us here in this story. How, you know, the Isaac blessed him, you know, and said to him, God give thee the dew of heaven. That's Genesis 27 and verse 28. The fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve you and let the nations bow down to you and be lord over your brethren and so forth. But he told him, you know, let even your mother's sons bow down to thee, you know, and curse be anyone that curses thee and bless be anyone that bless you. And he put out the blessing right there. But he said, the Lord give you the dew of heaven. Well, the dew of heaven is what's going to make you have the fatness of the earth. The dew of heaven is what's going to have make you have plenty of corn and wine. The dew of heaven is what's going to make the people to serve you. The dew of heaven is what's going to make the nations to bow down before you. The dew of heaven is what's going to promote you by your brethren. The dew of heaven is going to, what's going to make your siblings bow down to you. You know, that's right. The dew of heaven is his favor. God's favor. So let's read Psalm 44 and verse 3. These people that God favored to go in and get the land. Well, how did the Bible say that they got the land? Well, let's read it in Psalm 44 and verse 3. They got not this land, even though they had to do something about it. But, you know, we got to balance it out. You have to do something, but still, you couldn't do it by your power alone. They got not the land in possession by their own sword. They had to go out and fight. But if the Lord turned his back towards them, they would lose and be smitten before their enemies. So they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither their own arm saved them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. So the favor of God is the dew of heaven. So there's a time that you must do your part, D-O. And there's a time that the Lord must put the dew of heaven on it, which sometimes you pronounce dew as well, dew of heaven. And, you know, put a favor, put his favor on that thing. And my goodness, when he does, you know, it's like everything changes. I mean, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 tells you, look, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the dew of heaven, basically. Giveth thee power to get wealth. That dew of heaven, you know, will enable you to get wealth. That's right. You know, that's Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Isaiah 48 and 17 pretty much says the same thing. It is the dew of heaven that's going to teach you how to profit. You know, the dew of heaven will give you strategy. The dew of heaven will have a blessing on what you are doing. That's the dew of heaven. You got to have it. I mean, the scripture says in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, not by might. Yeah, you should have the might. That's good. Not by power. You should have it. That's good. But all of that, you know, it's still got to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. You got to go to battle. You got to fight. But it's the Lord that's going to give you the victory. Praise the Lord. In one occasion, the Lord said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. But they still had to go to the battle. You say, well, you know, because I just picked that up in the spirit. Someone said, well, you know, that was one time they didn't have to fight. Well, maybe so. But they still had to go down. The Lord said, tomorrow, go ye out and meet them, you know, in the wilderness of Tekoa. You know, you still got to go to the battle. There must always be a part that you must play. You know, that's it. Throughout the scriptures, even when the Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, you still got to do something. Praise the Lord. But even when you are doing that, remember, It is the favor of God that's going to make the thing prosper. But you must do something. And you must do the right thing and do what the Holy Spirit shows you. You're more likely to prosper if you follow what he shows you. Not just do any random thing and then expect it to bless it. You know, he might. But if he showed you what to do in the first place, it's a whole lot better. You know, and so forth. Well, let me tell you the story of, you know, this Jacob fellow. You know, I love his story, you know, because he was someone that, you know, remember, the father put the dew of heaven upon him, you know, so, and you can read from, you know, Genesis 29, the whole chapter, 30 as well, 31 and so forth, all those chapters in there, you know, how Jacob was trying to marry one of the daughters of Laban. And how Laban tricked him, you know, he wanted Rachel. Laban tricked him, gave him Leah. And he had to walk 7 years for her. And then, you know, he said, well, you know, you walk 7 years and so forth, give you this one. And then he found out that he was tricked. It was not the one he wanted. He said, what happened? He said, well, we can't give you the younger when the older is there. I said, well, but why? You know, this is what we agreed. He said, we don't do that. He said, okay, you know, walk 7 more years for me. I'll give you the other. Man said, okay. Because of the desire that he had in his heart for Rachel, you know, so he did another 7 years. And it, you know, Bible said the whole thing seemed to him like just a few days because of the love that he had for her. Well, it was a long time. It wasn't a few days. It just seemed like that. You know, eventually, you know, when it was time for him to have his, now he has two wives. He only wanted one, but now he has two. He said, well, send me away. Let me do this. And the man said, well, you know, I've seen that God has blessed me since you were here. So serve me some more. You know, do this, do that, do that. You know, and every time Jacob tried to get ahead, the man changed his wages. You know, finally, when we were reading later on, he said, this man said, I changed my wages 10 times. You know, I mean, so at one point, the dew of heaven had to come in order to make Jacob break free from that thing that Laban was trying to do to hold him back. This man didn't want Jacob to prosper and to set up his own family. It was going to hold him back, make him, you know, put him in servitude all his life and so forth. You know, and he was always tricking him, changing his wages and everything. So finally, the dew of heaven that his father put on him stepped in. And God showed him a dream. And God said, look, this is the way I'm going to bless you. This, you know, what you're going to do. And the Lord gave him incredible, you know, I don't know. Nobody ever did anything like that in the Bible that I know before or after. The Lord showed him, because Jacob, the Lord showed him something. And so he went to Laban. The man said, set your feet and I'll do it. He said, look, before you guys have accused me of stealing this and that. So here's how we're going to do it. You take all the best sheep and all the ones that you don't like, the spotted, the grizzled and so forth that nobody likes. Let those be my hire. So it'll be very clear if you see the plain sheep with me, then you know I've stolen them. But if it's these ones that we agree to, these the ones you don't like anyway, you know, then those will be my hire. And the man said, okay, that sounds fair. But the Lord, he put a blessing on this Jacob fellow, showed him what to do. He took a stick, you know, carved it up in a way that they, you know, become grizzled and spotted and so on. And when the calves came to mate by the riverside, he put those stick in front of, can you do that? That's the dew of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. When God's favor is upon you, God put that upon you, nobody is going to cheat you out of what belongs to you. This man was cheating him and the Lord showed him. And he put, you know, he just, when these people, when these animals want to mate, he put the stick that he carved. He carved some sticks, put it in front of them, you know, so that they will conceive and become, you know, what they have will come out like that. I mean, just think about it. How can you do that? I mean, how can you do that? How can you interfere with the course of nature like that? Because of the dew of heaven. God put it on him. His father did. And it caused, you know, and so when he saw the strong cattle, no matter what color they were, even they were the color that was supposed to be Laban's, he would put that, you know, miracle stick, miracle rod in front of them. And they would conceive and bring forth the spotted and the grizzled. And so, but when he saw the feeble cow trying to mate, he just left us alone. So God gave him strategy. And there was nothing Laban could do about it, because this is what, it was very clear. At the end of the day, all the strong cattle became Jacob's. That's right. Yeah, because God interfered. I mean, God intercepted the, you know, Laban's treachery, trying to deceive and steal everything from this man. And God put the dew of, God remembered the dew of heaven that his father put upon him and turned the tables. And that's how you do it. It took the dew of heaven. But he put in his time. He put in first 14 years. The next, he put in another 6 years. That was 20 years altogether while he was in servitude. And then the dew of heaven came. And during those last 6 years, God was beginning to transfer wealth from Laban to him. That's right. Because of the dew of heaven that came upon him, which his father put on him. And God made sure that the wealth transferred over to him. And there was nothing Laban could do about it, because at the end of the day, judge you between me and him. This is what we said. Look at all my sheep, you know, there. And he pretended like nothing happened. But later he told his wives that, you know, God showed me this in a dream, because your father, you know, the treachery of his heart, how he changed my wages 20 times. I mean, 10 times and so forth. But now God has made me rich, transferred all his wealth to me, and there's nothing he can do about it. Yeah. You know, that's the dew of heaven for you. Praise the Lord. And when things are not going right, Job chapter 8 and verse 7 will tell you, there is hope of a tree when it is dying, dead, or rotting, or whatever. When the dew of heaven comes upon it, the scent of water, the dew is like, you know, something, a small mist that falls from heaven. That's all you need. You know, and when you say, look, that tree will revive. When that dew of heaven falls on it, when the mist comes on it, through the scent of water, all you have to do is smell the thing. You know, now, I have noticed that, you know, we have vegetation in front, the back side of the house and everything. We water all these things all the time and so forth. But, I mean, they struggle, you know, especially in the dry seasons. No matter how much water you put on, they still struggle. But then a little rain, a little something from heaven just comes. And then all of a sudden that those things are flourishing. Even the weed will start to flourish once they get rain. Both the weed and the good vegetation will flourish from the rain. And God has put something in that rain. Yeah, it's the dew of heaven. It's mixed in there. And when a blessing comes, you can wet the vegetation for 3 weeks. And they won't do as well as, you know, just 15 minutes of rain. And not even heavy rain, just some drizzle. I've seen it all the time. So I'm sure some of you have seen it, you know, because there's a blessing that God put on that thing, you know, and that's how the blessing comes. Now, that's the dew of heaven. Psalm 102 and verse 13 will tell you that too. He said, look, remember, we're talking about seasons. There's a time that you must do. There's a time that God will bless you for doing. You know, he put the, you know, he put the dew of heaven on the works of your hands. You know, but you got to do something for him to bless it. You know, if you're not doing anything, there's really nothing to bless. But when you're doing something, then there is something for him to bless. So Psalm 102 and verse 13 says, there is a set time, there's a season, you know, of the dew of heaven, which is the favor of God. It's a time for God to put that blessing upon you. Hallelujah. You know, so thou shalt arise, he said, and shine your goodness upon your people. You will cause the goodness of God pass upon. I'm declaring this for people that are in this room already today, even as I speak it. So let it be. There is a season of the dew of heaven for you. Arise, O Lord, and have mercy upon your people. For the time, the season to favor her. Yea. The set time is come. You know, so that's the time that God will put a season of the dew of heaven upon you. It's a dew season to come in for you. Praise the Lord. But remember, you got to do something. You know, the woman cried out to Elisha, the prophet. He said, look, the creditors have come to take my sons. And my servant is dead. And he feared the Lord. But now we have nothing. Well, servant of the Lord said, what do you have in the house? He said, well, nothing but a pot of oil. The man of God said, well, that's enough, but you must do something. You got to do something. You know, so here's what you will do. Go and borrow some vessels and then do this and do that. Pour the vessel out, put it aside, pour the next one and so forth. Well, she did all of that. And then she came back and said, well, I done all of that. I got lots of oil now. And then, well, okay, so now you got to do something again. Give her also wisdom of how to go sell, you know, and get profit. But you see, she had to do something. It was just that simple. Even though God was going to put a blessing on it, but she had to do something. The boys had to go and get some pots from the neighbors and all of that. And she had to pour out the oil. She had to do all these things, set it aside, follow the instructions. So you always have to do, God will put a blessing on it, but you have to do what he said. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's how it works. Now, I've also told you the story of, because it goes along with this lesson, let me just quickly mention it. I've told you the story of Jesus and the disciples and the, you know, the bread that he blessed and put back in the hands of the disciples. And he told them, set the multitude in 50s and so forth, and then give to them to eat. Okay. That's what Jesus said. So they had to do it the way that he said it, and, you know, give to them to eat. And then, you know, there was plenty to eat. Plenty. But they had to serve. And dish it out. And all that Jesus did was put a blessing on the thing and put it in their hands. But they had to go and feed the people. You know, and they had to do that. You got to do that. As you are doing it, it is multiplying in the hands of the disciples. You know, not exactly in the hands of Jesus, but in the hands of the disciples. But they had to go among the crowd. Remember, there's 5,000 or 4,000 or so upon them. On the grass, everywhere, they had to go. I mean, if you said, if there's 5,000 people and you set them in companies of 50, that's 100 of them. You know, 100 places. You got to go around those places and so forth. So you are doing something. But God's put a blessing on it. Put the dew of heaven in it. It will multiply in your hands while you do it. Praise the Lord. And last but not the least, the thought of the due seasons, which is dew. D-U-E. Now, this means when time has come. You know. And the first do is the part you must play. The second do is, you know, the mist and the blessing of God, which is the favor of God. The third of the dues is, you know, well, that's a harvest time. You know. Now, a good scripture to look at is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. You know, that says that, look, you are going to reap, you know, if you do not faint. But there is a season when you are going to reap. But you've got to hang in there and don't faint. If you faint, you'll miss out. He said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, and that's the third one, we shall reap if we faint not. So we see that, you know, there are several things here that is in this small verse. The part that you must do, which is be not weary in well doing, keep doing the well things and the good things that you are doing, and then expect the due season, because God's going to put a blessing on it. So you see how this small scripture puts, you know, everything together. You know, Genesis 8 and 22, we find out that, you know, there is a blessing that God puts when we do something, and God puts a blessing on it. And he said, look, while the earth remaineth, right? Genesis 8, 22, seed time and harvest time. It reminds me of churches when they want to collect money. Hey, seed time. I don't know how to say seed time, blessing time, harvest time, and all that. We're not talking about money today, but seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God already put these things there side by side. But as surely as there is the sowing, S-O-W time, there's also the reaping time. You sow, you know, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Well, he said, look, when you sow,
you will reap. You sow in tears with faith, you're going to have a harvesting of joy. You know, so there's always the sowing, the doing, and the Lord putting a blessing on it, and for you to reap. Praise the Lord. So, now, when it is time for you to reap, though, you know, be sure that you enlarge your thinking, because if you don't, well, the oil might just stay when there are no more vessels. The oil might just stay. You know, when Elisha told the king of Israel, he said, shoot your arrows, put your hand up. He put his hand upon it, and the man shot his arrows a couple of times, you know, maybe three times, and he stopped. And the prophet was angry. He said, why did you stop? Why didn't you keep shooting? Well, now that you stopped, you're only going to get three victories. You could have done six, seven, and more, you know, and so on. You know, so when you are on a roll, when your due season, the D-U-E, due season has finally come, then don't stop believing, because God is now going to pour it out. Once you, you know, emerge, don't stop believing. If you stop believing, the oil is going to stay. If you stop bringing more vessels to put in, then the oil is going to stop. You know, so, but you got to keep believing. Well, you say, well, these things sound like fairy stories and fairy tales, and then, you know, so forth. Yeah, I want to see it in my life. Well, you can see it if you believe it and follow these instructions. One, do your part. Two, believe God for the blessing. And three, when it comes, it shall come like a flood, saith the Lord. That's right. When it starts coming like a flood, you got to believe it. Bring your vessels, not a few. And to get that blessing from the Lord. And it is coming. Now that's the exhortation that I want to give you today. I didn't want this to go too long. You know, although we didn't start for the first 40 minutes while we're in the room or so. But I want to tell you this. You know, that, you know, the Lord, what he wants for you, the blessing that is planned for us in emerging, you know, there are stages to it. Stages. You know, Jesus, he talked about that in Mark chapter 4. I love that lesson, and I always bring it up. You know, he called it the kingdom of God parable in the seed, you know, the air, the blade, the air, and the full corn, and all of that. You know, the stages. You plant the thing, stages. At first, it must die. It looks like nothing is happening. Then all of a sudden, you know, it brings forth the blade, you know, then it looks like, wow, you know, it's just a blade. Then the next thing you know, it's, you know, there is some corn. And finally, there's a full corn, you know. And so we're now in, what season are you in? Let me just ask you that. In what season are you? Well, maybe you are setting out with your season of doing, D-O, you're doing something. Well, you may see somebody that's already in their season of reaping. Don't worry about it, you know, because people worry and say, well, you know, you got to go through the process. You must do your part. Maybe they've done their part, you know, and maybe God is blessing them and they are doing more and they keep doing, you know. So you do your part too. And your blessing is coming just the same, you know. But remember, the deal of heaven, D-E-W, is what actually brings the blessing. It's like this thing that the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. It said, look, you know, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You can throw that dice, and you must throw the dice for you to see the outcome, you know. But how it comes out actually comes from the Lord. So, you know, look, you must do what you need to do, but leave the outcome to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, look, you know, when the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And when a tree falls, you know, where it falls, there it will be. I mean, do your part, let the chips fall where they may. God's going to bring it out, how it may come out. When people cast the dice, how it turns out, the Bible says, from the Lord. You know, in the olden days, they didn't have the Holy Ghost exactly. So they'd call on the Urim and the Tumim, and sometimes they cast lots and this and that. You know, today we don't need to be casting lots. I hope nobody's doing that. Holy Spirit is there. You know, He will instruct your mind. We don't need to be casting lots. But, you know, the lesson is still true. If you cast a lot, you don't know how that is going to come out. You know. You know, so let do our part. Let's believe God for the blessing. And whom the Lord blessed is blessed. You know, on this lesson, and I'm going to pray over you. I have a few more scriptures, actually. Several more scriptures that I could read. Maybe I'll continue tomorrow. I don't know, but I think I've said enough today. The summary of what we have said is for these three seasons, the do, and the do. They sound alike, but they mean different things. The do is taking action and doing your part. And if you don't do anything, Jesus said the branch that's not doing anything will be cast off. So we know that. The second one, which is do, is the blessing from God, which is the favor of God. It's like a mist from heaven. God puts a blessing on it. It can even cause a dead tree to come back to life. It's a blessing of God. God can do it and turn the tables around when your enemy is trying to deceive you and cheat you out of your blessing. God will turn the tables in your favor. You know, that's the dew of heaven. They got not the land in possession by their own sword or their own hand and so forth. But the dew of heaven, a blessing of God, a favor of God. And then finally, you know, when your due season has arrived, the season for you to reap, if you faint not, then be sure to put in the sickle and really reap. Jesus said, well, the man that plants the seed, he goes to sleep, wakes up night and day. He doesn't know how it brings forth, you know, the first day, then the air, then the full corn and so forth. But then suddenly, when the thing, he must put in the sickle and then he must reap. You know, well, you're suddenly maybe here. Hallelujah. And then when you see the thing, it's time for you to reap. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the share this morning. That's a lesson. Father, I pray over the room today that our hands be not weary in doing. Let not our hands be weary. Let not the hands hang down. Let them not be feeble in doing. Let our hands be strong to do. Roll up your sleeves and do. You know, in the season of doing, what you must do. Do what you must do. Praise the Lord. As the Holy Spirit instructs you. Hallelujah. And when you're seeking the Lord, we must seek the Lord in order for us to get that blessing. Praise God. Now, Lord, I pray that the dew of heaven, which is the favor of God, will fall upon our works that we are doing, so that they will not be in vain. For if the Lord is not behind the doing, Bible says they labor in vain. So now, Lord, let there be the blessing of God upon the doing that the people are doing. Whether they be students, learning, doing, whatever, put a blessing on it, Lord. Whether they be in business, entrepreneurs, or working for someone or whatever. The promotion, Bible says, you know, comes from the Lord. But put a blessing on it. And those that have been passed over, you know, just like Laban tried to pass this man over, cheated him so many times. Right? Maybe they passed you over for that promotion. Maybe they passed things, you know, and so forth. Well, it's coming your way. And the dew of, you'll be just be doing what's right, you know, and then the dew of heaven is coming. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? Well, he shall stand before kings. It's coming a time that he will be promoted. And so if you are diligent in doing your business, God is going to bring you promotion. Ha! Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. And finally, when the time of blessing comes, as it said in Psalm 102 verse 13, then bring your vessels not a few. And don't stop. Keep on believing. And what the Lord has started, He will sustain. You know, there is a spiritual energy and force will keep the thing moving. And it will keep moving by your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory, even in this room this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.